You know, we're born into this world as sinners. That's our very nature. And so it shouldn't surprise us that we see that in our children. The book of Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom, gives great insight into the need for training and disciplining our children. I'll give you a couple of verses, just references them and what it says. For Proverbs 22:15, it tells us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Proverbs 29:15 tells us that a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. That's because of that sin nature. Children are instructed by God in Ephesians chapter 6. You can turn there with me if you'd like. To obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:21 says they're to obey their parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to God. Ephesians 6 tells us also that children are to honor their father and their mother, treating them with respect for the God-given authority that they have over them. But children will not do those two things naturally. They will not obey their parents naturally. They will not honor their parents. They must be taught to do so. The question is, who has the responsibility for that training? And we find it in Ephesians chapter 6. Look with me at verse 4. It says, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Fathers, you are specifically spoken here of being responsible for not provoking your children to wrath, but also for bringing them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, I understand, and practically speaking, both the mother and the father are critical in this work. Both of them have a vital ministry to their children. In fact, oftentimes the mother is going to spend more time with the children than the father. But the question, the situation here is that the responsibility is placed by God upon the father, because he is, called by God the head of his wife, the head of his family. He is the spiritual leader in his home. He is to rule and stand before them and give the example and provide this leadership. We see this placed on fathers in two aspects. One is negative. We saw this last Sunday morning. It says, "Do not provoke your children to wrath," and that really means to excessive wrath. The way you treat them, the way you handle them, especially the way you discipline them and correct them, should be done in such a way that it's under the control of the Holy Spirit, so that our children are not provoked to excessive wrath and become discouraged or even distressed or depressed. We don't want that to happen. We looked at that last Sunday. This morning, we're going to look at the positive side of what father's responsibility is to his children. And that is found here only in Ephesians 6, verse 4. It says, "Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Bring up your children in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's in strong contrast to not provoking them to wrath. This is a positive command. Fathers, you are to bring them up. What does that mean? The expression "bring them up" is from one Greek word. It means to feed, but it's got a little preposition of "out" that's attached to it. It means to nourish them, to nourish them up, to feed them, to support them, to provide for their needs. Look back at chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 29. The same word is used here when it's talking about the husband's responsibility in regard to his wife. He says in verse 29, "No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church." So he said in verse 28, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies, therefore they are to nourish and cherish their bodies. The word "nourish" is the same word that's used for "bring them up." It means, again, to feed, to provide for, to support, to help. All of those things are there. In the same way that you nourish your own body, in the same way that Christ nourishes the church, husbands are to do that for their wives. They're also to do that for their children. Okay, that's the idea of to bring them up. But it also carries this idea. It means to bring up and to raise them and to bring them to maturity or to full growth. You feed them so that they grow. And they grow until they have reached a point of maturity or full growth. Fathers, that is your responsibility. You are the nourisher. You are the provider for your home. Certainly that includes the physical needs. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and look at verse 8. Paul has been giving instructions to Timothy about what to teach in the church there where he is serving as pastor there in Ephesus. And he tells him in verse 8, "If anyone does not provide for his own, It says, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever or an infidel. So if you don't provide for your own, especially your own household, you're worse than an unbeliever. So fathers, you have a responsibility to provide for the needs of your family, the physical needs, to make sure that they have a home to come to, shelter, food, clothing, etc. All of those things is a part of your responsibility to your family. But that's not all that your responsibility is. It's just the physical needs. There are some fathers, I think, that they think that's the whole thing. I'm the breadwinner. That's what I do. I go out and work. I bring home the money. I make sure that my family is cared for and provided for. And sometimes you'll see fathers, they'll spend a lot of time at their job. Maybe sometimes too much time at their job. So much time at their job doing and providing for the physical and material needs of their family that they forget that there's time I need to spend with my family. There's time I need to spend with my wife and with my children that if I'm at work all the time, I can't do. So it's not just the physical needs that fathers are to provide for their children. It's also the mental needs. Think about this. You want your child to grow physically, yes, but you want them to develop mentally. You want them to learn to speak. You want them to learn to read and to write, to think and to reason. Education is an important part of our children's lives, and fathers and mothers play an important role in that. We want them to understand math and history, and English, and science, all of those things we want them to learn. And fathers, you have a wonderful opportunity to have a part in that, to be an active part in seeing your children provided for as far as those needs are concerned. We need to be concerned about the emotional needs of our children, the social needs of our children, that our children need to learn to respect others, respect their elders, respect authority, that they need to learn to show kindness toward others, love toward others, that they need to learn to share. There was a book written several years ago that says, "All I learned in kindergarten." And I remember some of the things, you don't want to share, not to hit, and all of those things and so forth. Well, our children need to learn those things. But again, those things don't come naturally. And those things ought to be learned before your children go to kindergarten. At home is where those things need to be. But there's another aspect. When it says here, bring them up, it includes nourishment in probably the most important area of our children's lives, and that's in regard to their spiritual needs. When you look at human beings, God made us in His own image. We have a body, just like our Savior, the Lord Jesus, has a body. We have a soul, and a heart, in the same way that the Father has a soul and loves and cares for people. And then we have a spirit, just like God has a Holy Spirit. And our spirit is what enables us to communicate with God, to know God, and have a relationship with God, to worship God. Again, other creatures don't have that. Animals don't have that, but human beings do. And that's a part of our children that we need to nourish, that we need to feed. And that's an important responsibility that God has given to fathers, to nourish our children spiritually, to give them so that they can know God, that they will learn to worship God and see and understand the God who created them, the God who loves them, the God who provided a way for them to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear that from us. They need to know and learn the knowledge of God from us, that He is a sovereign God who created all things, that we all answer to Him. They need to know the truth of God's Word. They need to know that this is more than just a book, that this is the Word of God. This is a God-breathed book. That is the source of life to all who will read and hear and believe it. They need to know salvation. They need to know that they're sinners. That's an easy one. You've got examples in their own life. When you correct them, you need to talk to them about, why do you do things like this? Because you have a sin nature. You're a sinner. That your sin separates you from God, but that God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for your sins. You have a wonderful chance to teach your children that truth. The gospel of God's grace in Christians' homes ought to be heard first by the children from their parents. And fathers, that includes you in that. I mean, we need to teach our children the importance of worshiping God and serving God, going to church and gathering with other believers to have fellowship and serve the Lord and worship the Lord and study His Word. They need to hear that from us, and they need to know that from us. This nourishment, fathers, this raising of your children and bringing them to maturity in all these areas, whether it's physical or mental or emotional or social or spiritual, that responsibility God gives to you. It rests on you. This is not the responsibility of your community. Okay? In spite of those who would teach it takes a village, and I'm not saying that the village cannot support and help, that's certainly true, But the responsibility is not the community's responsibility. Responsibility for the nourishment of your children in all those areas is not the government's responsibility and not the school's responsibility, and it's not the church's responsibility. Certainly the church is there to help, to teach your children the things of God's Word, to worship with your children, to love your children, and so forth, and can help. But each one of these entities can help. Community can help. Government can help in some ways. Schools can help. But the responsibility falls on fathers. This passage doesn't say, communities, bring up your children. It says, fathers. You fathers, bring up your children. This is a command. Now, the wife, the mother in the home, yes, she has a tremendous part in this. We've already looked at the fact that she is to be the guardian of the home, that she is to manage the home, that that's her primary responsibility, is her children and taking care of her home. But the responsibility to make sure it gets done rests with the father. Now, that does not mean, fathers, and I'm speaking to myself as a father too, that does not mean that I'll make sure it gets done, I'll make sure my wife does that. I'll make sure that their mother takes care of all that. You know, in one sense, she is going to take care of a lot of that. She is going to do a lot of that. She's going to teach her children. She's going to, you know, teach them all these things and work with them to speak and to walk and all of those things. She's going to do all of that. She's going to teach them love and all that. But fathers, you need to be actively involved in bringing up your children. You don't need to be an absentee father. We sometimes talk about absentee fathers who leave and leave the mother behind to raise the children on their own. But sometimes there are absentee fathers who just are never at home. Fathers, you need to be actively involved in not just providing for the material needs of your children, but you need to spend time with your wives, with your children, and, you know, be there with them when they learn these things, when they grow, when they develop, when they need correction, when they need discipline. You need to be the one that's there with them to teach them the things of the Lord. That's an important thing, especially the spiritual needs. You need to be involved in that. Now, what do we need to do? What does fathers need to do to bring up our children? How can we nourish our children? Two things are mentioned specifically. Looking back at Ephesians 6:4, he says, bring them up in two ways. Number one, in the training. The King James has the word nurture, and the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now, both of them are qualified by that little expression of the Lord. It is training or nurture that is of the Lord, and it is admonition of the Lord. Nourishment that is basically from Him. Nourishment that comes from the Lord, but nourishment also in the things of the Lord, spiritual things. We need to teach our children the things of the Lord. Training, what does that mean? It comes from a word that means literally child training. Nurture is training your children. It involves educating them, yes. It involves instructing them. It involves training them. It involves teaching them. But it also includes the area of discipline. I mean, discipline and correction and chastening. All these aspects that are needed in bringing up a child and raising a child to a place of maturity. That's what is involved in this training or this nurture. We see a great deal of emphasis today in our world upon education. There's education is focused on by our government, certainly by our schools, by parents, by children. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with education. It's an important part of our children's lives, an important part of our lives as well. But it begins early. I mean, you want to get your children into the best schools. These days, used to be when I started out of school, I started in elementary school, first grade. There was no kindergarten. Now there's kindergarten. And then there's pre-kindergarten, and then there's, I don't know how many levels there are, but kids that are 3 years old are going to school these days, and so it's very important. And some people are really worried in making sure that their children get into the best pre-kindergarten program. And there's even fights about who gets into this school and that school. And so they do that, and then you get on up into junior high and high school, and then there's a great deal of emphasis upon all the subjects that you do. And then getting into college. I mean, kids have to think about getting into college these days. In elementary school, it seems like. I mean, you're worried about which college you're going to get into and which test you're going to take. And testing, oh my goodness, testing is going on like crazy in the schools and all that. And advanced placement courses. And again, a lot of this is good. I think some of it has been taken totally to extremes, I guess, in some areas. But education is very important. We've had a lot of educators in our congregation through the years, and they've done a wonderful work of the Lord in teaching and administering schools and so forth and counseling and all that. But let me ask you this question. As much emphasis as we put on the education of our children in all these areas, okay, let me ask this question. How much emphasis do you place on spiritual and biblical training for your children? Because, you know, unless they're going to get that in a Christian school, you know, unless they go to a Christian school, they're not going to get that. And even if they go to a Christian school, that's not the primary place that they should be getting their training. It ought to come from you. It ought to come from you. So we need to make sure that our children, I think, number one, are in church. Now, I'm not saying that just because I'm a pastor. I really do believe that. Children need to be brought to church. Okay? That principle is given in Hebrews. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, I think, is applicable to us as believers today in this dispensation of grace. We need to meet together, to worship the Lord together, to enjoy fellowship with each other, to support each other, because we're a body of believers. We have a unity with each other as believers in Christ. Our children need to see that. Okay? They need to experience that themselves, to be around those who know the Lord and love the Lord and sing praises to the Lord and study God's Word. They need to see that and hear that and experience that. So they need to be in church. They need to come to Sunday school. They need to come to vacation Bible schools. I wish we had had more coming to camps. We don't even have a camp anymore for them to come to. But that's where they need to be, is under the sound of God's Word. But you need to also make sure that they're hearing the teaching of God's Word at home from you. That spiritual instruction or biblical instruction is not something we do once a week or even twice a week, but it's something that is a day-to-day process. We're growing to know the Lord. We have the privilege of reading and studying His Word and praying. We need to ensure that our children hear and are taught the gospel. You know, think about Romans 1:16. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? What's the next statement he makes? For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. At that time, it was to the Jew first and also the Greek. The gospel has power to save our children. They need to hear it from us. We need to make sure we give a clear presentation of the gospel so that our children hear and know how they can be saved at a young age. 2 Timothy 3:15. Turn there and look at that passage with me. 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul is emphasizing to Timothy how he needs to continue in the things that he has learned, the things that he's been taught. And not only the things that he was taught by Paul, but the things that he was taught even as a child, a very, very young child. Look at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. He tells Timothy, and that from childhood. And that can even be down to just a young child, an infant, a toddler. He says, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, where did he hear the Holy Scriptures? He had a godly grandmother and a godly mother who imparted their faith in Christ to him and taught him the Scriptures from a very young age. And look at the impact it had on his life. Look at the way the Apostle Paul just, you know, kind of latched on to Timothy from the very beginning and thought, I want this young man traveling with me. He had a tremendous respect in his community for being a spiritually minded young man. And so he went with him. But he heard the Scriptures from the time he was just young. Look at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Our children need to be taught that. This is a special book. It says, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. And that word means mature, full grown. We want our children to be full grown. The only way they're going to grow spiritually is if we teach them the Word of God. We make sure they hear the Word of God. It's important that they understand, you know, the importance of rightly dividing the Word of truth. Be diligent. Teach our children to be diligent, to present yourselves unto God, approved unto God, workers who do not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They need to hear those things from us. Now, you're not going to teach a two-year-old that, okay? You have to learn. That's a growing thing. As they mature, though, they need to hear those things and understand those things. They need to know the importance of godly character, of morality, of ethics, living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. They need to know the importance of growing. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. We read that passage in the Psalm that says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. This passage talks about how a household can be built. Proverbs 24, and start with me in verse 3. It says, through wisdom a house is built. And again, we're not talking about a physical structure here. We're talking about a home. We're talking about a family. Through wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established so that it's firm and secure. You want your children to be built up. You want your children to be founded on the truth, a foundation of God's Word. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And again, we're not talking material things here. We're talking spiritual truth, spiritual riches. By knowledge, the rooms of your house, your home, your family are filled. The importance of teaching. That's why Solomon, as he writes many of the Proverbs, talks about the children hear the instruction of a father. The teachings of your mother. Fathers, this is your responsibility. Mothers, you are to help, obviously, in this. You are to support your husband as the spiritual head of your family and making sure that this work is carried out for your children. While you cannot guarantee that your children will be saved or that your children will be raised to faithfully live and serve the Lord. You don't know that. I do believe that the passage of Scripture in Proverbs 22, look back at that one just quick, Proverbs 22:6, I think it certainly is, it's more likely that your children are going to become believers in Jesus Christ and serve the Lord in their lives if we do these things. Look at verse 6, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's not an absolute guarantee. But that's going to be much more likely. Do you want your children to know the Lord? Make sure they hear about the Lord from you. Do you want your children to love the Lord and serve the Lord? Then make sure that they hear those things from you, that you train your children in those areas. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he's much more likely to stay there and not depart from it. Now, one aspect of training is discipline, correction. It's not the same as punishment. Sometimes we hear that word discipline and the first word that pops into our minds is, yeah, punishing our children. Punishment sometimes is absolutely needed. Our children, when they disobey, when they break rules at home and so forth, they do need to be punished. They need to understand that there are consequences for disobedience. There are consequences for disrespect. There are consequences for sin. Now, that's an important thing, that they sin. When they sin, there are consequences for that. But punishment is not an end in itself, okay? Punishment is not all there is to discipline. It's more than that. Discipline is a form of training. It's an opportunity for your children to learn, to grow, to mature, to be brought up and nourished. They learn to obey and honor their parents. They learn that this is right in God's eyes. They learn that this is well-pleasing to God. They learn that, you know, there are wages for sin that must be paid. And so we need to teach them those things. We need to make sure that we discipline them, and in the process of disciplining them, we train them. Now, the need for discipline is clearly seen. The two verses of Scripture I started with this morning. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The second part of that verse, though, says this. It says, the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 29:15 says this, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother, to his father too, for that matter. Okay, so those we need to discipline our children. Clearly, that's the case. And Proverbs talks a lot about the rod and the rod of correction and rebuke and so forth. The motive for discipline, though, is not anger. And I can think back and know of times that when I disciplined my children, it came from anger, and it shouldn't do that. It shouldn't come from anger. Discipline comes from love. You know, discipline comes from a love. Proverbs 3. It says, a father chastens the son in whom he delights. If you delight in your child, you have joy in your child, you care for your child, you love your child, you will discipline your child. You will discipline your child. It's an evidence of the fact that you do love them. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Now think about that verse. A child left to himself is a child that's never corrected. Never rebuked, never disciplined, never punished for disobedience. You leave that child to himself, I guarantee you, he's going to go down the wrong road. He's going to hear the wrong message. He's going to hear, in a sense, from you that you don't even care enough about me to correct me when I do something that's obviously wrong. Okay? When we love our children, we'll discipline them. We'll discipline them promptly. We show that we delight and find joy in them, that we care about them because they need that. Now, the means of discipline, the rod. First thing we think of with the rod, the word rod, is a spanking or a beating. Okay? I don't think it implies that. You don't have to spank or beat your children to correct them or discipline them. You may choose to spank your children, okay, and as long as it's not an abusive type thing, I still think it's a valid thing to correct your children with and discipline your children with and so forth. But what it simply implies is there needs to be firm correction and discipline in our children promptly after they do something that needs it. After they disobey, they show disrespect. That's what they need. They need prompt discipline. They need firm discipline. Training a child in the process of is a process of punishing, yes, but correcting them. You know, you punish them for what they did wrong. You need to make sure that they understand that they did this wrong because they wanted to. they stepped. You had the boundary there, and they stepped over it. They knew what they were doing and stepping over it. You discipline them. You correct them. But you also, you not only rebuke what they've done and tell them this is wrong, but you also show them how to live the right way. Show them what the right thing to do is. You correct them and train them. The rod of correction and discipline, as we mentioned last time, make sure, fathers, that you don't provoke your children to excessive anger or wrath. Make sure that you're in control when you do that. In fact, make sure you're in control of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit direct you in doing that. And make sure you correct your children and discipline them, I think, on an individual basis. Every child is different. They respond differently to correction. What works with correcting one child, disciplining one child, may not work with the other. You need to learn your children and learn what's going to work and be effective with them. Consider their needs. Consider their personalities. So that's a part of training is discipline, and it needs to be there. But remember, it is a training situation, not just punishment. And the second word, going back to Ephesians 6, is the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now, a very similar idea, but I think it's something that we need to make the distinction between. Admonition literally means, it's a word that means to put or to place in the mind. Okay? To put or to place an idea, a thought in someone's mind. Now, it could be the idea of calling something to someone's attention. You know, we talk about sometimes with our children, there are teachable moments. Something happens and a situation pops up and so forth. Call that to the attention of your children and use that as a teachable moment to show them and teach them something that they need to learn. It can be teaching or instruction. It can be reminding. You know, how often in school do we see repetition being an important part of education? You repeat things, you know. We see it in Scripture. Paul says, I'm telling you something. I've told you this already, and I'll write this letter back to you to remind you. You need to be reminded because these are things you need to remember. I remind you because you need to remember. There are things that our children need to remember and things that they'll put out of their minds very easily and very quickly if we don't remind them continually about what they need to hear. It also carries the idea of admonishing them, of warning them, of rebuking them. And I think warning is a very important thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 describes what Israel did in the Old Testament Scripture, how they murmured against God, how they disobeyed God, and what happened to them. What happened to them as a result. And it says all these things that happened to them, for real, were written for our learning, our admonition, as reminders to us of what the consequences of sin are, as warnings to us and rebukes to us about don't do this yourself. Well, our children need to hear that as well. There are things our children need to hear continually and remember. You know, most parents, we warn our children, we instruct and we remind, we rebuke, we warn our children about physical needs and physical dangers. We teach them life skills. I mean, we teach them, you know, things around the house, what to do. We teach them, you know, basic things when they're very, very young about how to walk, how to talk, how to hold their spoon, and all those types of things. We warn them. We warn them of other things. Don't touch this stove. It's hot. Now, what's the first thing they're going to want to do? Yeah, they're going to want to do it. That just goes back to the nature of it. But you need to warn your children. We warn our children about, you know, look both ways before you cross the street. Or maybe you've got a rule in your house, you don't cross the street. Or whatever it is. We warn our children as they get older about things like talking to strangers. We warn them about drugs and alcohol and sex. So, we, you know, there's lots of things that we remind and warn our children about. And we repeat it, don't we? Especially when they make these, you know, when they go to, you know, junior high school maybe the first time, or they go away to college. Even when they go away to college, we're still there with reminders, you know, about things that they need to be warned about, and that's important. But this admonition here is, admonish them in the things of the Lord. How often are we concerned with warning our children and reminding our children about dangers that exist in the spiritual realm? We certainly want to teach them about God, about the Bible, about sin, about salvation, about Jesus Christ, but we also want them to know about Satan. And we don't want to tell our children all about Satan so it will scare them, but they need to know that there is an enemy out there who fights against God. There is an adversary that fights against you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to know about his methods, how he deceives, how he tempts people. And to know, how do we stand against temptation? We teach our children and warn our children about those things. They need to know what they're like inside. They need to know about their own sin nature and what it will lead them to do. They need to know about the dangers of walking according to the flesh. Read them and make sure they see Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. They need to know that they live in a world that's evil, that's headed up by Satan. And that the things that the world has to offer is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All of these things are going to pass away. We need to teach our children those things. They need to know about false teaching as they get older, about cults, about religions, about the traditions of man, about the philosophies of man. They need to hear those things from us. Your children, when they go to school, are going to learn all about evolution. Okay? They're going to be taught that that's science, that that's fact, that that's truth. They should have heard before they get to school that, no, it's not, that there's a God who created all things. And we answer to this God. They need to hear that at home. We need to warn them about the dangers of those false teachings that they'll hear. They need to know about these issues that affect their lives both now and for all eternity. The importance of choosing friends and choosing them wisely. Paul warned the believers. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. He talked about his ministry there, and not only in Colossians, to the Colossians as he writes this letter, but his ministry everywhere he went. Notice what he says in verse 28. He's talking about Jesus Christ, and he says, Him we preach. We proclaim to you Jesus Christ. But notice the next things he says, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, look at the order. What's the first thing listed? It's not teaching, it's what? It's warning. Warning every man and teaching every man that we may present every man perfect, complete, mature, full grown spiritually in Christ Jesus. Now, isn't that exactly what we want for our children? For them to grow and mature and to develop in Christ Jesus. So what do? Him we preach. Warning our children and teaching our children that we may present our children and see them grow and be complete in Christ Jesus. Parents, fathers, do your children know these things? Have they heard these things from you? Have you taught these things to your children? Have you warned your children about these things? Are you in the process of training your children and disciplining and correcting? Are they aware of the dangers that they're going to face in life? If they don't hear it from you, where are they going to hear it? If they don't hear it from you, how can mothers and fathers effectively train and admonish their children? I think it's a simple thing, really. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. When God gave instructions to Israel in preparing them to enter into the promised land, He knew that they needed to be not only aware of these things themselves, but they needed to teach these things to their children so that they didn't forget what happened when God led Israel out of bondage in Egypt. So that they didn't forget what God did for the children of Israel as they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. So that they didn't forget the Lord God and all that He had done for them. And so He tells them, look at verse 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. That's the first thing. Parents, fathers, mothers, it's got to be in your heart first. These truths have got to be in your heart first. He says, And you shall teach them diligently to your children. How? Look what it says. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Those last two verses means, it ought to be something that's just a part of your house and your home and your family. that we talk about the Word of God. We talk about the things of God. We love the Lord. We serve the Lord in this household. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That ought to be evident in your house and in your family. And the other thing is to teach them diligently to your children. How? Well, when you just talk about them. You don't have to sit your children down and put them in desks and get a pulpit and stand in front of them and preach to them. They're probably not going to receive that too well. That's something my children have to go through every Sunday and hear their father preaching at them from a pulpit. That's got to be weird if I put myself in their place. They don't need that at home. They need somebody who talks with them about the things of the Lord. He said, when you're sitting in your house, that's a teachable moment. Okay? We talk about teachable moments. Anytime you're with your children, there's teachable moments. When you're sitting in your house, talk about the things of the Lord. When you're walking by the way, you're out and you go and you see something happens around you, in the world around you, here's an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. When you rise up, when you lie down, when you rise up, any time of day, you can do it. We simply talk to our children about the Lord. Tell them what we know from the Scriptures. Teach them the Word of God and train them. One other thing we do, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul talks about his ministry among the Thessalonian believers while he was there at Thessalonica. But in so doing, he compares his ministry to that of a mother and that of a father. So I've always used this passage to teach what do a mother and father do effectively teach and train their children. Starting with me in verse 7. Not only do we tell them about the Lord, we show them. We show them. He says, verse 7, Paul says, we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, they did that, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. You see, that's showing forth the love of Christ, the love of God to our children, imparting our lives to them, imparting the gospel to them. For you remember, brethren, our labor and our toil for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preached to you the gospel of God. Now, that's the mothers. Now look at the fathers in verse 10. You are witnesses. And God also, your children are witnesses. I guarantee you, they're watching you. They're watching everything you do. They're listening to everything you say. And there ought to be some consistency. There ought to be some unity in that. No hypocrisy, but consistency in your life. Integrity is the word I think I'm looking for. You are witnesses in God also how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. So, fathers, this is what we need to do. We need to behave ourselves. We need to behave devoutly. That's a devotion to God. Justly, doing what's right and fair. And blamelessly, so that people cannot easily find fault in your life before your children. You know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. Fathers, that's your responsibility. You live it before them, and then you exhort and you comfort and you charge your children that they would walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. That's what we do. It's just a part of our lives. This is a part of our lives, and this is what we do with our children. You know, sadly, in most homes today, and even many Christian homes, culture has replaced nurture. Education has replaced edification. It's become more important that they adapt to culture and be educated, in the things of the world more so than the things of God. When fathers and mothers don't train and admonish their children in the things of the Lord, when children never learn to obey and honor their parents, families suffer heartache. Sometimes families suffer ruin. You look at David's family. David's family was in shambles when you get to the end of his life, because of failure on his part to lead and train his children as he should. David was a wonderful person and had a heart for the Lord, but he wasn't the greatest father, and we don't want to follow him in that example. Communities suffer. Nations suffer moral degradation. Look at the world around us today. You know, why is it going in this direction? Because there are so many homes and children are raised in which they never hear anything about spiritual things. They never hear anything about God or the Word of God or the Lord Jesus Christ or salvation. They never hear any of those things. And sadly, sometimes it's even true in Christian homes. Society suffers a breakdown in authority. And we see that around us today as well. And because that's where it starts. It starts in the home. And fathers, as they say, the buck stops here. That's what it says here. The buck stops with you. It's your responsibility. Go back to the thing I opened this whole series with, was this. Unless the Lord builds the house, the home, the family, they labor in vain who build it. Fathers, let the Lord direct you. Let the Lord work through you to build a home, that will honor Him, to raise children that know Him and love Him and serve Him. And the responsibility is yours. May we be faithful in carrying out the work that God has given us to do. Heavenly Father, thank You for this opportunity to spend some time in Your Word and just read these passages of Scripture which really lay out how important responsibility is given to fathers and mothers in raising their children, training their children, and disciplining their children, and admonishing and reminding and warning their children about things that they need to learn. It's such a great privilege, Father, to be able to bring children into this world and have this wonderful joy that comes from having a child in your home. But it is a great responsibility and one that we pray that You'll help us to take seriously and to realize how much of an impact it can have, not just upon our own children, our own families, but also even upon society and the ones around us. May we be faithful. Father, we thank You that You are a faithful Father, that You do you treat us and deal with us in such a wonderful way. We pray that we'll learn, even from that, how we are to deal with our own children and help us to raise them and to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.